Work shouldn't feel like a drag, and you shouldn't have to sacrifice your soul for a job you love. Determined to rethink the future of work, she's out of her depth on purpose. With fresh ideas, interviews, and stories from her life on the road, meet Europe's newest digital nomad, Blair Palmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 66 of the Brilliant Gamble podcast. I hope you are very well. We're on our big trip, yay! As I record this, we're on day three and it's been snowing. So we're in the camper van. The heat has been blasting. Ivy's just turned it off because it was making a lot of noise and I had to record this, and also she says she's too hot. But we have had the heat blasting because it's very, very cold outside. And we've been pretty much stuck in the van. So we've been trying to stay out from under each other's feet, which is pretty much impossible. We left the house late afternoon on Friday, and even getting set up at the campsite was a bit of an adventure of its own. I don't know if I've been completely open about this, but we have never slept in the camper van, or we hadn't slept in the camper van. We hadn't spent the night in it. We hadn't cooked in it. We hadn't really had the heat on except for 2 minutes just to check that it was working before we set off on this trip. And some people might say that's a bit of madness. It was actually our intention to have a trial run, but we kind of ran out of time. My own view on it now we're here is that I'm very glad we didn't do a trial run because we might have got cold feet. The truth is that we're committed now, and so any problems we have actually out here making it happen, we have to somehow deal with. There's kind of no turning back. So actually, I'm quite pleased we didn't do a trial run, but it was a little embarrassing because we weren't completely sure how to set up the electricity. We weren't sure how the hookup worked, and we had to go and get some help. So a little bit embarrassing. I also practically tore my own fingernail off. And we also realised that we still have too much stuff in this van. And we've done certainly two trips to the bins with things that we don't need, including a lot of cushions, which look very, very lovely on the sofa slash bed, but actually take up a huge amount of room. So we are here until Wednesday, and then we're off to Wales and our first Airbnb on Friday. And I will be very pleased to be able to stand up fully while I cook and get dressed in the morning. That'll be such a treat. Anyway, let's go to the show. So today's guest is Ali Saleh. She's an award-winning women's advocate and empowerment coach. She's the host of the F Years podcast, which is all about helping women in their 40s and 50s go from fed up to fabulous. And about a year ago, she sold her house and set off in her car for a nine-month adventure without really much of a plan, as you'll hear. Basically, she took her own medicine, doing what she helps other women to do. In this interview, we talk about her experiences, the lessons she's learnt, and some really useful advice for anyone who's thinking of changing their lives midlife about how to tap in to your wise inner voice. Without further delay, let's go to the interview.
Ali, so happy to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, Blair. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here with you.
Well, we had a little chat last week about some of the things we might talk about today. And I don't really know where to start because there's so many places we could start. You've had adventures of your own, you've helped other people to have adventures. And I suppose that's really one of the main reason I wanted to talk to you was about having adventures in your 40s and 50s. Not to say that this, what we're going to talk about, isn't relevant if you're not in your 40s and 50s, but I think it's a little radical, isn't it, to have your adventures in your 40s and 50s? Surely you should have grown out of it by then.
Do you know what? I think that the old way of thinking was you kind of went to school, you went to university, if that was your thing, then you got a job or a career. And then you retired and then you had your adventures and that was the rule, you know, and you were supposed to wait until you were retired and then you'd go on your saga holiday. whatever it was. And I think that, you know, we're living in this amazing time right now where we can shake all of that up if we choose to. And I think the internet has given us, it's been such a massive sort of revolution in the way that we can live our lives. And so I think for women in their, excuse me, late 40s and 50s, you know, they have a way of connecting now with others through social media. They're seeing what other people are doing. I know you've got a massive adventure that's just unfolding. And, you know, there are so many women that are inspiring and men who are choosing a different way of living. And rather than waiting until, you know, they are retirement age, they're choosing to go for it now. And why not now? And I also think that, you know, really, when we get to sort of 50, which is the age that I am right now, it's such a privilege to be here. You know, I'm sure for many of us, we've lost friends and family along the way who haven't reached 50. And so, you know, I think it's an absolute privilege to be this age. And why start putting my thermals on, sitting in a rocking chair and smoking a pipe, when I could be swimming in an ocean, or I could be climbing a mountain, or I could be doing something that just makes me feel alive, and that, you know, life is just unfolding for the better every day.
I remember my dad having a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
He probably was spot on 40. I mean, 40 feels a little young to have your midlife crisis these days, but nonetheless, he was probably and he decided to get a job that meant that he could work from home, and we moved to the countryside and we got a small holding and we started raising sheep and you know, eating our own vegetables and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so the idea of the midlife crisis is not new, but as I said, it seems to be happening a bit later. And it seems to be happening, maybe it always happened to women, but I don't remember my mum having one. Do you think that that's what we're talking about? A bit of a kind of get to your mid 40s or early 50s and start thinking, is this it then? You know, is this what... Because you're sort of at a crossroads where you could say, well, I could just let it all go now. I could spend my evenings for the rest of my life watching TV, and I could wear a onesie and I just let it all go. Or I could decide it's time for another adventure. It does feel a bit like that to me.
I think it does. And I think sometimes when people talk about midlife crisis, it's almost said as if it's not, you know, it's not a good thing. But what if it was a good thing? A midlife crisis is actually an awakening. It's actually, it doesn't mean it's like one final fling at life. It means it's actually reaching a kind of a crossroads. Or as I sort of feel that it can be, it's like, you know, inspiration hits us. And I think sometimes, yes, we do sort of think, you know, is this it? Is this now how my life is going to be? Actually, I expected to be further ahead, or I expected to be doing something different, or, you know, I didn't imagine that it would just end up like this. And then I think sometimes we get that kind of, there's an awakening that happens within us. There's like this inner nudge, this inner knowing, this inner guidance, this spark of an idea that kind of carries us forward. And I think often then we remember, actually, life's meant to be fun. And I want to move towards that. I want to move towards joy, because actually the weight and the burden of paying the bills and my ever-expanding waistline, the wrinkles, and do you know what? That's not necessarily what it's all about. You know, I want to go out there. I want to have fun. And I think that's what people are feeling when they're in their midlife crisis, as you suggested it could be. It's actually thinking, I do matter, there is more out there, and I'm going to go out there and grab it. But for each of us, it happens at a different time. Some people actually hear that calling and go for it. Some people hear the calling and don't allow themselves permission to go for it. They think, yeah, that's kind of not really for me, or yeah, of course I'd love to do that, but I haven't got time to do that, or I can't afford that, or yeah, I'd love to retrain, but, you know, I can't afford that, you know, or I'm just too old now for that. But the truth is, you know, the adventure can start whenever you want it to. You just got to feel that calling to go and do it, or just to do something, see where it takes you.
And you did this, didn't you?
Well, what happened was, I've been in the personal development world for a very long time. And, you know, I've seen other people's big transformational journeys. And I thought I'd had mine, you know, because I'd kind of, you know, been completely broke, putting my mortgage on a credit card and, you know, then turned my life around and, you know, started a new career. And so I kind of felt like, yeah, I've had my big breakthrough. But I think that that was quite small thinking, really, because I think we're forever growing and we're forever sort of having these peaks and troughs and new beginnings in our lives. And so I'm 50, as I mentioned, and when I was 48, my girls left home and I was a single parent, and I so loved being a mom, and they were my friends and we did so much together, and, you know, our home was always buzzing with, you know, them and their friends, and there was lots of cooking going on and laughter. It was great. And then obviously, you know, the natural evolution within a family is the children fly the nest. And, you know, of course, as a supportive mama, you know, I encouraged them to do that. But then suddenly I was alone and, you know, it was kind of like, okay, now what? And I really did feel lonely. And if I'm honest, I started feeling quite sorry for myself. And, you know, everything was tidy and, you know, kitchen didn't have any mess in it. I wasn't really cooking for myself because there was no joy in that. And yeah, I just was feeling quite lonely. And I think also, you know, at the stage, the age 48, you know, perimenopausal time, hormones doing all sorts of things, and just, you know, not sleeping so well at night and getting a bit too introspective about things. And you know, I started thinking, hang on a second, I actually help other people to shift out of this sort of feeling of fed up, to move towards fabulous. I've been doing this for years. What's happened? I've not noticed that I've actually fallen into this pattern myself. And so I thought, right, come on, you can either feel sorry for yourself or you can do something different and embrace life and see this not as the end of something, but the beginning of something, and actually see this as a time to rise up again and, you know, decide who I am now, if you like, rather than who I've been. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping women who are in their late 40s and 50s, because it's such an exciting time, because for many of us, our children are, you know, leaving home, and it is a time of you know, what's next? You know, what's for me? And so, yeah, I think it's an exciting time to redefine what your life is going to be about moving forward, about who you are now as a woman. Who do you aspire to become? What's next? What's the adventure? You know, what do you long to do? What is it you've been waiting to do all these years? What's that thing you said that, well, when the kids are grown up, I'm going to go off and do, or whatever it is, but that fire that you've had in your belly for so long that you've been kind of putting on hold. Well, you've been putting on hold for a time such as this. So so that was my experience, is actually to you know, embrace this time of my life and start again, you know, start again. So I sold up. I wasn't, you know, I decided that where I was living wasn't really where I wanted to be. I was a bit fed up of paying a mortgage after all these years. I've been on the property ladder since I was 19. And I just thought, wouldn't it be great to have an adventure? And so I sold up. I put all the possessions that either were important and necessary or that had some real sentimental attachment, I kept those and put those into storage, and then literally with just my car and but the essential possessions that I needed, I drove off, and I didn't have a home to go to, which was the most strange experience and equally liberating experience, to know that, you know, it's like a blank piece of paper. I can do whatever I want now. So yes, I had an adventure for a good 9 months doing that.
And you didn't even really know where you were staying the first night, did you?
No, So although I was a single parent and I was living alone, I had a partner, but we didn't live together. And he kept saying to me, yeah, but so where are you going to go? Like, what are you, because I also think he was sort of rather hoping, well, I wasn't going to be saying, can I move in with you? And so I was like, I don't know. And I was saying to him, all I can focus on is getting the place sold. I can't really decide what I'm going to do until I've done that bit. That's the bit. And he said, shall I just book us into a hotel for a couple of nights so that you can just sleep and then you can figure out what you want to do? And I said, yeah, that's great. That would be perfect. Thank you so much. So that's what I did. I stayed in a hotel, but it's the most strange feeling not having a set of house keys, you know, to go home to, you know, to turn in your door. There are no keys other than your storage unit and your car. And that's very it's really liberating, actually. No housework either.
Yes. I mean, there are lots of things about that. You know, the cost of just having a house, and I mean, everyone who has a house knows this, but the mortgage and the bills and the Wi-Fi and the maintenance and all of that kind of stuff, you know, there's all of that. And then there's all the time. And I do spend a huge amount of my time going up and down the stairs trying to that I'm not quite sure where I left them, or more likely where someone else left them, but I'm supposed to know where they are. You know, if when you just have stuff that fits into your car, or in our case that fits into your van, you know exactly what you've got, and you can basically see it all.
Yeah, you can. And I think, you know, it goes to show that you can actually live life more simply. I think, you know, we overcomplicate, you know, in our heads about situations, about can we do this, can't we do this, but we also, we overcomplicate things at home. You know, we fill our homes with tap and stuff and things we don't really need, and in fact when we get rid of them we don't miss them. So you know, a lot of people have said to me when they've done something like this, a lot of my clients have done this too. You know, it's just such a cathartic, is the word they use, experience to let go and shed this stuff that we just like carry around with us. And so for me, that it was strange, the things that I've thought, oh, you know, I could have done with that. I had a speaking opportunity and I thought, oh, I know, I'm going to wear my red top. And then I thought, oh no, I can't, because it's in storage. And I think I said to you last week, I really missed my potato peeler. And I had to go and buy a new one that was the same as the other one. And I think that's also the thing. We can often replace the things that we find that we need, that we do actually need. But most of the time we can live so much more simply than we do.
Yeah. You called it pruning. You know, I'm not a minimalist by any stretch of the imagination. And in fact, just today, we've put everything into the van that we're taking. And we've really wedged it in. I mean, there's not one dot of space. And what I'm hoping happens, actually, is that as we travel around, we think to ourselves, we don't need some of the stuff that we've, you know, even though that's pretty minimal, I'm hoping that we think even further, there's things we don't need. But, you know, the very fact that we've had to sort of wedge stuff in is evidence, proof that I'm not a minimalist. But I do like this idea of pruning. And I wonder if, even if you don't have a plan to go on a big adventure that requires you fitting everything you own into a gun, there still might be benefit in doing some pruning.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone feels lighter when they've let go of things. And I think sometimes, you know, sometimes people say, you know, your outer environment is a reflection of what's going on in your, you know, mentally, your inner environment. And I think that's really true, because I don't know about you, but when I'm working, if I've got a really cluttered desk, then I tend to feel a bit more stressed and I'm not sure where things are. And excuse me, things kind of just get a bit on top of me, because they literally are on top of me. And so I think, you know, when we want to transform our lives, or, you know, in our, maybe we want to change the adventure we want is to change our career or whatever. Actually, when we start lightening our load at home or in the office or even in the car, I had a bit of a sort out of my car today, actually. Because I'm going to America next week and there's still a few of my things in the car that I had on my travels in my car, and it's like, oh yes, I remember where I left that. And I think it is really important to lighten ourselves and lighten up literally by letting go. Also, you know, say you want to have an adventure and you think you can't afford it, well, you know, you could make money by selling the things that you no longer want. I made money on eBay, you know, I was just going to freecycle everything. Someone said, oh, you don't want to do that. What about those old Microsoft, you know, like drivers that you've got for all, you know, from the 90s, whatever, they're worth money. I was like, what? You're kidding me. Somebody wants it. Oh yeah, they're collectible and they're still sealed. And so even the most sort of random things, you know, people want and collect. So whether it's a piece of furniture you know no longer need, or maybe it's your DVDs, CDs, okay, you don't get a lot of money, but you know, it all counts, it all mounts up. So actually, when you lighten up and you sell some of these things, you know, that's great. So I think I made about £500, which, you know, is great. That paid for quite a lot of my storage unit time. So
yeah, that's really good. And you know, as we're sort of making analogies between, you know, the inner world and the outer world and all of that, it also occurs to me that the letting go of stuff and the letting go of attachments are related too. You know, I think we can get very attached to life having to be a certain way, and that's where some of the complexity comes in. So, well, I mean, I have to have a house and I have to have a car, and it can't just be a car, it has to be a great car, and we have to go on a special holiday, we can't just spend our holidays at home. I have to, you know. So then you start to accumulate a lot of have to's in your life. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's one of the reasons, because I know you work with a lot of people who are making this transition and going on these adventures. I wonder if all of those attachments are one of the reasons that we end up feeling quite stuck, and that we need to let go of some of those and be okay with not having some of those things in order to be able to move forward lightly.
Yes, I think it all is about mindset. And it is about recognizing the conditioning that we have. And also, you know, other people project onto us what they think we should be doing or how we should be living, you know, what their expectation is of us. And I think it's really important that we, you know, that we actually just stop and think about our lives, you know, and to sort of do an inventory, you know, of ourselves, of our lives, of how we live, and actually look and see what is really working for us, what isn't, what do we need to change, what do we need to do more of, less of, and what do we need to let go of. And I think that's really important, because you know, if you want to have a life that's rich and fulfilling and purposeful, then you have to walk a path less trodden. You have to choose what's right for you and embrace it, really. Embrace it. Embrace that opportunity.
What's some of the stuff that holds people back, either practical or, as you say, mindset? How are they getting in their own way?
I think that a lot of people love the idea of having, you know, when I say adventure, I don't just mean like selling up and doing, you know, what I've done and what you're doing. It might be changing a career. It might be starting a lifestyle business. It, you know, it could be actually just finding and reclaiming themselves, who they are now at this stage, whatever stage they're at. But it is actually, I think it's important to, you know, the mind is a very complicated computer, if you like, and it runs all these different programs. Some are on the surface, some are going on behind the scenes. And, you know, we easily talk ourselves out of things. We might have a fleeting moment. We think, oh, do you know what? Like, for instance, I have a friend and she said to me, oh, I'm retraining to be a nurse. And I said, wow, that's incredible. And she said, thing is, I've always wanted to be a nurse. And she'd done all sorts of other things. She'd even been a landscape gardener. She'd worked in a school. And I said to her, what stopped you from doing it before? And she said, oh, you know, I just didn't think I had the time. I didn't think I was this. I didn't think I could manage it. But, you know, I've got to this age and I think I'm going to do it because it's now or never. And that really impressed me because I think, you know, for so many of us, there are things we want to do, but we just talk ourselves out of it. And she's a great example of somebody who got out of her own way. She actually said, doesn't matter that I'm 50. It's now is the time. It's now or never. And it's definitely going to happen. So it's now. So I think, you know, we overcomplicate. We talk ourselves out of things. We think that it's not for us. A lot of the time we don't give ourselves permission to do it. And that's such a big one. So I've had clients where, you know, they kind of know what it is they want to do. But they think they're supposed to be doing something else because they trained in it and they studied in it, or they're paid really well in this particular job, or, you know, that they're just waiting for this promotion in their company, but they don't even really want to work in that company anymore. And so sometimes it's about giving themselves permission to say, do you know what, that doesn't matter. You know, this other thing that you want to do, this other adventure, this new career, this whatever it is, if that's the thing that you really want to do, then it's okay to go for it. It's okay to say, you know, goodbye to that other thing that's no longer really fulfilling you. You don't have to keep doing what you've always done. You know, you can give yourself permission to do it differently.
And how do you know, this is a conversation that I often have with myself and with clients as well. How can you tell whether the voice that you are hearing in your head that's telling you, well, it's telling you anything actually, but often telling you to put the brakes on or to be more sensible or whatever. How can you tell if that is the voice of your higher self, or if that is the voice of the devil trying to tempt you to, you know, not take any risks, to not really live your life, to compromise on everything? Because sometimes it's very difficult to tell which bit of yourself is speaking in that moment, which bit to
listen. There's so many different ways that I think you can define which it is. But usually, you know, it's the ego that is the one that's saying, oh, you don't want to do that. Oh, what if you lose all your money? Oh, what if it goes wrong? Oh, what are they going to say? What if you don't fit in? What if it all just goes terribly wrong? You're going to look a right fool. Well, that's not what spirit would say, because that inner guidance, you know, that this, the path that you're meant to take actually is the one that says, go on, do it. It's going to be fine. You know, this is what you're here to do. So one makes you feel expanded and one makes you feel contracted. So the ego is always trying to protect you and keep you safe. So it's going to do its best to do that job. And it never goes away. You know, it's always going to be there. And actually, there's a great book by Elizabeth Gilbert called Big Magic. And she talks in there about if you imagine that you're on a bus or driving a car, and you're going to have spirit with you, which is like, yeah, come on, let's hit the road, let's do this, it's going to be so great. But you're also going to have ego with you going, oh, you know, goodness me, no, you can't do this. And she says, you have to remember to put ego in the back, and then you have to give it a right good talking to. So you have to say, okay, you can come on the journey, but you sit in the back. We don't want to hear you giving out directions because we know where we're going. And you're not even allowed to control the radio or the music, show my age. And I think that's the thing. It's always going to come on the journey with us. But it's spirit. It's the part of you that feels expansive. And I think that if you take yourself, you know, to whether you're somebody who likes to meditate, or if you can just take yourself to a really quiet space and just to relax and breathe, you know, just slowly breathe in and out, drop your shoulders, just relax and put your hands on your heart and just feel into your inner guidance, your inner calling. And every time a negative voice comes up, surrender it and just ask yourself, you know, what am I here for? What's my next step? Another thing that I like to do is to sort of visualize myself in the future. The person that I aspire to become, what would she do? What would she say? What does she want me to do? And the other way, you know, we were all little people once with dreams, and we didn't have doubts, and we didn't have, you know, we didn't have a part of us that doubt, you know, we could go, you know, I used to love being a horse and clip-clopping down the high street on a Saturday, you know, giddy up, giddy up. People would look, it didn't matter. My girls did that, singing out loud. No, you know, you didn't care what people thought, you just did it, because that's what childhood's about. But as we get older, we are so concerned about how we look and how we show up and how we fit in and what other people think and are we being good. But actually, if we go back, so in that quiet moment of, you know, being heart-centered, breathing with our eyes closed, and take ourselves back to that little girl inside or that little boy inside, and actually, you know, saying to her or him, do you know, it's going to be okay. We're going to have this amazing adventure. Because that little child inside still wants to have fun. That little child inside doesn't want to settle for, you know, what is. You know, the children always want the next thing. They always want the fun. And that's what life's supposed to be. But somewhere along the line, that gets forgotten about. And we're supposed to conform and fit in. And as I said earlier, you know, wait till we're older to have our fun. We don't have to. We can run towards joy now if we give ourselves permission, and it's okay to do that. So I think, it's really about what feels expansive and what feels, you know, contracted. And that's how you know. Is that how you know?
Well, you know, I heard a really a good distinction the other day, a course that I'm doing, self-development course that I'm doing. And the lady who runs the course, who's Jess Lively, I listen to her podcast all the time, talk about her a lot on the show. She was saying that, is the voice peaceful? If when you hear that voice, it's a peaceful voice, and when you imagine that course of action, it feels peaceful, then it's probably coming from your intuition. And when it's not peaceful, which is a lot of the fear stuff and a lot of the security stuff, then it probably is the ego talking, because the ego is just trying to keep you safe, but it is a fearful, small-minded part of
yes,
this intuition, which is peaceful. So that's, but that fits very, really perfectly with the distinction that you've made as well, that this kind of expansive, that things are possible versus closing down and saying no to opportunity.
I think also, if you've got this feeling inside, you just know that you're meant to do something. So before I sold up, I knew I wanted things to change, and I knew that I didn't want to carry on living the way that I was. And so I went through journals upon journals, sort of writing down like all the different options, all the different things I could do. I could rent out my home. I could sell my home. There were just so many different things that I could do. And, but I kept getting the same thing coming back, which was sell, just sell, just sell. But then I was thinking, oh God, but if I do that, what about this? What about the other? And I did mention it to a few people, and they were like, some people said, yeah, that sounds great. You should do it. And other people like, oh yeah. Well, what if you lose all your money? What if you spend it all? But the thing was, I just kept, it was just this reoccurring inner nudge going, sell, just sell, just sell, just trust yourself and sell up. This is what you're meant to do. And it was such a relief when I'd made the decision just to do it, just to stop wasting time, get out of my own way and sell. And I think that that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, it's there. You know, we think, oh, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You do know. Deep down, you know, there's some kind of inner nudge, a whisper. It's like your soul's calling. It's your inner guidance. It's literally inspiration, which is in spirit. It's something, it's telling you to do this next thing. And your ego might fight it. But if it keeps coming up, it keeps coming up and it just doesn't go away, you know it's meant for you. It's there and you've just got to own it and claim it and say, right, okay, I'm going to do it. And I don't necessarily know all the answers or how it will happen, but I'm going to just take that risk. I'm going to take that, you know, the biggest gamble. I'm going to do it.
I think that that is, you know, you mentioned before about throwing things away, and very rarely have I regretted throwing anything away. I have once regretted throwing something away. I went a little bit too far with my clear out and threw away some demo tapes of me in a band that I was in when I was younger, because they were on cassette, and I thought, oh, I can't even listen to a cassette, so what's the point? And of course, years later, I thought that was really stupid. Well, I knew it was stupid the second I came back from the trip. I was like, that's gone forever and no one has a copy. So I think there are, you do sometimes make regrets, have regrets, but the thing is about the status quo, you know that if you say, well, let's just keep everything as it is, you'll still have the option later of changing it. Whereas if you say, let's change it, you don't really probably ever after that have the option, or the fear is that you don't have the option to go back to how it was before. And I wonder if that, it feels like, of course the truth is, just as you did with your potato peeler, you can always... You can always put it back together again if you need to. You know, if you realise you've gone too far, you don't do something that you regret, by and large, you can unpick it and put your life back the way it was. But it doesn't feel like that, I think. It feels like a greater risk, like there's no turning back.
I definitely think that's true. But I also know that we're so resilient. I also know that we have more courage within us than we think that we have. And, you know, even if the thing that you want to do doesn't work out the way you expected it to, at least you tried. It's so much better to live knowing that you tried rather than living with regret that you didn't. And there was a fantastically sad, actually, interview that was done with some people that were in palliative care, and I'm just trying to remember what they said, but they said that they wish they hadn't cared what other people thought about them so much, and that they wish they'd had the courage to do what they really wanted in life. And I think that must be so sad, to get towards the end of your life and look back and think, oh, I should have done that, or I wish I'd done that, I wish I'd been braver, I wish I'd tried. Because life is meant to be fun. We are meant to run towards the thing that we're passionate about. And even if we don't quite make it, we're going to have had some kind of adventure, some kind of learning, some kind of awakening. And the thing is, as well, Blair, that I think is really important, is that we are the role models for the next generation. And we're the role models for our peers as well. So when we have a go at something, we're kind of sending that signal out to others. They can give themselves permission to do it too. And I think that's really important. Take a chance, you know. And as Martin Luther King Jr. said, take the first step in faith. You don't always have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And I think that's really, really true.
I love that. And of course, that's where, you know, sometimes people will look at something like the thing that I'm doing or that you did, these quite big, momentous changes, and think that that's where it started, but it probably didn't start there. I mean, there are people who living very kind of normal lives, nothing particularly unusual at all, and then they have a sort of breakdown and do something completely out of character and completely wild and irrational. They just break. But for certainly, I know for me, this, in a year or 18 months ago, I would not have done the thing that I'm doing now. It's only possible because of some of the smaller decisions that I've made in the meantime, and of course prior to that. So I was already working for myself. So I already had that amount of flexibility. You know, and then, in fact, I think probably the first thing I did was I let my hair go grey. You know, it wasn't a big thing, but it was a kind of, it felt big at the time, was just to see a bit more of my own self. You know, it's about authenticity. And then that led to the next thing, and that led to the next thing. And each change that you make then opens up to you a range of options that weren't available to you before you made that change. And then you make the next change. And that's, I guess, the step at a time thing. That I had the whole thing planned out 18 months ago, and now we're setting off on our journey, and I had all these big decisions to make. I didn't. I just decided to homeschool. I didn't decide to world school. I didn't decide to buy a camera. I decided, I think this is for us now. And then the next thing becomes possible. And it doesn't look like that from the outside, I think. But in reality, it's very unusual that people make these massive changes in their lives from a standing start. Is that something that you, from your own experience and also from working with your clients, is that familiar to you too?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, they always say there's no such thing as an overnight success, don't they? Because something has been going on behind the scenes, whether it's just this, you know, this feeling that it could be doing something different. And then just like you say, taking the small little steps. It's like a puzzle, really, isn't it? Life, you know, like a jigsaw, or sometimes I think of it as a game of snakes and ladders, because sometimes we go up the ladders and we come down the snakes and we're like, oh, okay. But the thing is, as long as we always take the learning, you know, so something didn't go as well, what could I have done? You know, what have I learned from that? And that in itself is like a step forward. It's a definite step forward. And being more self-aware as well, I think, you know, is a step forward. And really owning who you are and your worth, and, you know, putting your boundaries in. Those are all steps towards whatever your adventure is in life, you know, just reclaiming who you are. And a step at a time. Nobody has to do a giant leap. You can if you want, but, you know, it's little steps. It's a step here and it's a step there. And sometimes it's just a sideways step. Just keep moving forward.
How did your 9 months on the road change you? What did you learn about yourself from that experience?
Gosh, I learned so many different things. I learned, well, obviously we've already talked about it, you just don't need so much stuff, that you don't have to have the whole plan. I had thought that I would be spending time in Europe. That was something I thought. But because my body's got rheumatoid arthritis, I ended up having so many hospital appointments because I'm waiting at the moment to have my ankle replaced. And I was a bit frustrated, if I'm honest, because I had seemed to have like hospital appointments almost every week, which kind of kept me very much pinned to the UK. So I learned as well to kind of ride the waves, if you like, and not feel disappointed, but to see every day as an adventure, a mini adventure within itself. And I think that's a good learning for life, is to every day have a little adventure, even if it's just to walk to a different park or to eat something different or whatever. So make every day an adventure. What else did I learn? I learned that it isn't all about the money either, because I remember thinking before, it'd be so good when I don't have a mortgage and I don't have credit card bills to pay every month and all about that. And that was a good feeling, but I still didn't, I didn't go out and splurge, you know. I didn't need to, because I was actually happy. I was happy with myself because I was happy in my decision. I also learned that I probably didn't even need to have sold up. This is probably the biggest one. I didn't actually need to have sold up to have had the adventure. I could have had the adventure anyway. It's just that, again, I didn't give myself permission to go off and, you know, visit family up in the Northeast or go up to Scotland on the train or, you know, do some of the things that I did. I could have done them anyway, but I just didn't think that I could unless I sold up. So that was a big learning. And that reminds me again that, you know, now I'm living in a home again. There's nothing to stop me now from just going where the wind blows, you know, where it takes me whenever. And that actually, I'm always safe. You know, I learned that I'm always safe. You know, the number of people that said, come and stay, you know, or my family would say, oh, why don't you come and stay for a few days? Or rekindling friendships and connections. You know, that was amazing. That was, that brought me so much joy.
I love that. And I think, you know, we get a bit of Instagram envy, you know, when we look at people traveling the world and things. I certainly do. And it's a motivator for me. I use that as a motivator. But I also wonder if some of the stuff that doesn't make a great Instagram picture, which is sitting around with your buddies, having a drink or a laugh and just hanging out with family, just quite normal times, hanging out with people that you don't get to see enough of, and allowing that into your life, as opposed to these very hectic lives that we lead, where it's hard to get out to see people. But it feels hard to go away for the weekend or to have people over for dinner. And actually, it's very easy and would make such a massive difference in terms of just shaking things up a bit, just getting out of the routine.
Yes, yes. I think it's, you know, so many people have their New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym because I want to feel more healthy and I want to tone up my body and I want to, you know, want to have that beach body ready for the summer. And all, you know, there are so many different things that people do because they think, yeah. But then we all do it, don't we? We all do it. We all kind of think, oh, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered to go to the gym this week, or I can't be bothered to, I think I'll just have something quick and easy to eat. I'm not going to make something super delicious and nutritious. We all kind of shrink our lives, shrink each aspect, you know, deny ourselves the pleasures that we could have. And we just settle for what is, and you know, there's so much more. There's so much more.
So if people are wanting to do something, they've got an inkling of what it is, what the adventure is, but they're struggling to get started, or they're not feeling completely in flow in terms of getting started, what are there any tricks or tips that you can share with them?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's great if you acknowledge that that's how you're feeling, and that's okay, and that's normal, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, we see, like you say, there's the comparison with social media. We see other people like having these amazing experiences, and we think, oh, I should be doing that too, but I'm not there yet. And I think it's important just to sort of acknowledge you're where you are, and where you are right now is perfect. So it's just about taking a step forward. So whatever it is, this thing that you say that you want to experience, what just every day, like what is one thing you could do? Or even if you can, what are three things you could do today that would move you further in that direction? Maybe it's a phone call to someone who can help you. Maybe it's actually doing something practical or physical, like clearing a space or whatever. Maybe it's doing some research, or maybe it's even just taking some time in quiet reflection so that you can just relax and feel that expansive feeling that we talked about. You know, just know that it's normal to feel fear, know that it's normal to feel anxious. You know, again, that's the ego that feeds us that, and that's normal. So don't beat yourself up if you're not as far ahead as you would have liked to have been. Just remember that every day you can take that next step forward, and that's okay. And you go at the speed that's right for you. Do it in the way that feels most comforting to you, but know that you've got to push your own edges. You've got to push out of your comfort zone, and just keep moving forward.
And do you think that deep down, most people do know what direction they should be going? Because a lot of people will say, well, you know, if I knew what I wanted to do, I would do it, but I don't know. Do you think actually at some level most of us do know what the next step is?
I do think we do. Yeah, I think we do, but I think what happens is we overthink. So, you know, we might think this is what I want to do, but then we ultimately say, yeah, but I can't do that because, you know, and we talk ourselves out of it. Also, I think sometimes we forget, you know, we've had this like spark of, you know, burst of inspiration comes through us and we're like, oh my God, I know what I want to do. I want to do this. But then we don't think about it again for a while and we kind of forget that we thought that. Mm-hmm. So I think that when there's something you think really lights you up, you know, you want to make a vision board or a Pinterest board or write it down, and it might come to you in the middle of the night, the thing that's for you. Write it down. It's probably something that you always are Googling about. It could be something that you always picking up books or magazines because you see something in them. Or it's something when you hear on the radio someone talking about whatever it is, you turn it up because you think, oh, I'm interested in that. It's actually recognizing what it is that you are always curious to know more about. And keep it alive. Every day, just keep those feelings alive inside of you. Don't forget what it is that you're working towards. Don't forget your dream, your desire, the thing you're here to experience. Let it grow.
And this is exactly what you talk to people about in your podcast, isn't it? The F years.
Yes.
I love that so much. I must admit that I initially did think that it was something rude. I can't be the only one. But you did meet 40s and 50s, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. 40s and 50s. And also, I used to run some groups that were called Fab Friends Network. And also, I still do take people from fed up to fabulous. So F actually is quite a key letter. And so, yeah, the F Years podcast is very much about women who have, who are experiencing these natural changes that are occurring in their lives and in their bodies. The kids might be leaving home, or maybe they didn't have children and now they're like, okay, so I'm 50, you know, now what? I've kind of got quite a lot of money behind me. I've got more time. Now what? So it's all sorts of things. Women who, have relocated or who've literally sold up and traveling, as you're just about to embark on. Women who've just rediscovered who they are now at this chapter of their lives. Women who've found love again, which is beautiful. But it's all about women who perhaps feel, you know, that it wasn't like they knew what they wanted, but they felt terribly vulnerable. They weren't sure if they had the courage. They weren't quite sure they could give themselves permission to do it. And so they kind of had to really push through all these protective barriers that they put up for themselves to get to the other side. They weren't people who just said, yeah, I'm just going to do that. It's a breeze. I'm just going to go for it. No, they had to kind of work their way through. And I think that the journey for them is richer for it. And the women that they've grown into, it's just totally inspirational. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great show, and it's a great concept as well. I do think it's very timely to focus on women. I think there's something very interesting happening around
definitely
feminism right now, and I think it's a brilliant time to be a woman and to be a fan of women.
Yeah,
to be one of the guys that's standing alongside and going, you know, come on, yes, you can do it. I always knew you could do it. And you
yes. Yeah. And I love men like that.
There's plenty of them. Absolutely. Yes. Tons of them. So yeah, it's great that they're getting a bit of a moment in the limelight as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ali. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Blair.
Inspired a few people to get on the first step, or maybe the first couple of steps of their new adventure. And of course they can follow you and they can listen to the podcast to find out more brilliant tips about how they can do that too.
Thank you so much, Blair. It's been a joy, and I love your podcast.
Well, we could just do this. Should we just do this for a few minutes? Just tell each other how much we love you. Oh, Ali. That's so cool.
It is actually, yeah.
Oh, wasn't she lovely? I loved talking to Ali, and I really liked her description of your wise voice as expanding, and the difference being that your devil's voice, the little devil on your shoulder, is a contracting voice. It's so often very confusing to try to work out which voice it is talking to you. So very, very useful advice. Next week will be a solo show. I want to tell you some of the things that I'm already learning since we left about change and adapting to change based on our own experiences. So that's next week. But in the meantime, please do stay in touch. Please go to the new website, www.abrilliantgamble.com, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter and the Facebook page. And with information about all of that, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
To hear from you, you can get all the episodes of this show, plus read the blog and find out more about our travel adventure at www.brilliantgamble.com. Sign up to the newsletter and get an advance notice of the classes and programs Mummy is running. Plus, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Brilliant Gamble. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant gamble of their own.